Praise the Lord. I wanted this to be a little informal today, so if you can come a little closer and get around us.
James.
We are hungry for more of you, Lord. We are thirsty. I was in a meeting once with a group of leaders. I was so privileged in America to just have the favor of the Lord, as Vaughn knows. I mean, I don't seek man's favor. I just don't. I tell you, the only notoriety I know of is that which God has declared over me in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that I esteem as valuable when it comes to praise. The praise of me. The praise of man. The glory, the Greek word is praise. So I'm in this meeting, and in the meeting is about 40 or 50 leaders in the nation. One of the men is Sammy Rodriguez. Sam is my age, 40 years old, and he's the head of the evangelical Hispanic movement in the United States with 30 million voting constituents. A powerful dude. He can turn the vote in the nation. He's my age. Amazing guy, Sam. He's a personal friend of mine. And Sam is like an amazing orator. He's excellent. And he comes from, he has an anointing passed down through a Pentecostal generation of fathers in the faith. Mm. So he's an anointing. He's not just, you know, just a good speaker, but he's a really good speaker. But now he's an emerging leader in the country, okay, in the United States. So Sam gets up, and he's got all these hand things. He always like goes on. You see him, he goes, and we need to have a vertical relationship with God. God has got to come from heaven to earth, and we must have horizontal, and he must, and it must be interracial, and it must, you know, at the Hispanics and the African Americans. And he's going on like this, and he's all over the show, and all these massive emergent words are coming out. I'm looking at him going, phew, this is flying over my head, and Brother Reinhard Bonnke is in the room. And then Sam gets to the place where he, as a 40-year-old, turns to the leaders of the United States and says, and we have to make the gospel relevant to our society. And I mean, that word relevant is something that shouldn't be coming out of a younger generation. It's just like that's just wrong. I just didn't like the sound of it. It didn't sound. So Brother Reinhard stands up. He just stands up in the middle of what he's speaking. He says, my brother, to a hungry man, bread does not have to be made relevant. Awesome. I'll tell you what. Sharon and I looked at each other. Get the pen out first. Start writing. Brother Reinhard. Because sometimes, I mean, the emerging church, the new young guys, they want to interpret the ancient message. They want to reinterpret it like it's into another language for the modern generation. And that's a little bit of a deception because it's almost not interpreted. Like water it down or change the color, put some colorant into it. Or if you say that, if you put colorant into the message, you have not understood its power. Because its power is not fleshly. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of it. It's not like, I don't care, Paul said, what color it comes in, what package it comes in, who brings it. It doesn't matter because there's a power to the message that transcends education. There's a power. It's the power of God unto salvation, everyone who believes. Because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And then one of the deceptions of the older generation, one of the evolutions of the church in the older generation in the early mid-90s, as the media world became powerful and the amplification of one person became powerful. So in the 1800s, they didn't have microphones. They relied on a dispersed church. They relied on a matrix of people that would go and touch the world, right? They had to. because they didn't have a internet one person's blog touching the world. They didn't have all of that, so they relied on more disbursement. Well, come the 90s, media, magazine, print, you can now take an icon, a person, and multiply them in a imaginary relationship with people, and then expect an impartation to come through that magnifies the message throughout the earth. And we found it failed. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the load upon the individuals was too heavy. So they're all falling with ridiculous sins. The load's too heavy for the individual. So they just become islands. They stop the relationships with accountability with their personal friends and partners. They hide behind walls that media makes up about this imaginary person. They actually believe them about themselves, that they are so magnificent and untouchable and bulletproof and all these things. And then they fall, and then they disappoint millions of people. And so that iconic style of ministry failed the church, okay, of which we realized. So it now is evolving again, and it evolving now into back down to you being empowered, because now the iconic way, which was in the Industrial Revolution, after the Second World War, moved that iconic way also, where we had icons of invention appear, where we had General Motors and the Goodyears and these major names that were branded, KFC, you know, Colonel Sanders, and they would take name brands and make them again, build the developing world around icons of invention and branding. Which did the same as the church in the building world, where you got these icons now, and you were just in the blue collar. You just went blue collar and in a mass of propping up these icons. Okay, same we went in the church. Well, that evolved into the 90s when the internet hit, and laptops became the most powerful tool upon the earth. And I shared last time, I was here, my cell phone is powerful enough to gather in an Excel document the name and address of every single person living upon the earth. Wow. My cell phone. So you see the jump from... So now I'm suddenly... Mickey Mouse, East London, I got the power of holding everyone's name in the world and marketing myself to them. Twitter. Which gives me power again. Which brings now the no-name brand, gives the power back into the no-name brand, okay? So it's, again, an evolution of media. Going from icons to no-name brands getting the power. I like that. I love it. I remember in Detroit, I was traveling through Detroit many times preaching, and then I was in the meetings, and I'd get to know the people, and I said, so what do you do? And one guy would say, well, I work for General Motors. And you work for General Motors? That's awesome. What do you do? Well, I'm a designer in AutoCAD. And I found like everyone's a designer in Detroit. Everyone works on AutoCAD in Detroit, working for the big four, the big five, whatever. It's the big four, I think. And so you work on AutoCAD. Yeah, now I design a certain part of the dashboard of a car. This guy. And he's 23 years old. So you design the dashboard. Yes, I work in AutoCAD, but I get a specific job. I know. I don't never go to the office. I don't go. I don't have a head office. I work from home. So I'm like, you work from home, 23, they're paying you, and you're designing one of the things that the whole world is going to look at and go, wow. And your name's not going to be stuck on it, designed by Armani or something. The brand's gone. But yet you're a significant part in the design of this vehicle. It's dispersed the design elements into normal, average people, touching millions of people. And it's just, I saw it happening in the world. Come the 2000 generation, now us, internet, and ability for you to communicate with someone, not just imaginary, but with video, live conferencing, ability to touch, to filter out in one click masses and masses of people and target them directly. Bang. I mean, you go to your Facebook, you click on a name. I want to find a friend of mine that I went to school with, you know, Roger Daly. And there he is. It filters the masses out for your specific intention, and you can go direct your life into that. So what I'm saying is things have evolved. And I think if it's evolved scripturally into a better place for us, because the Bible declares that your life, even though you feel like blue collar, the world made you flee blue collar because you weren't the icon. The Bible said the matrix, the culture, just like yogurt is a culture, the culture of that yogurt, that culture, was put inside of you. Exact culture of greatness is in you. It's the exact culture of greatness. And now, how do we take that culture and make it valuable now for our generation? How do we do that? In the understanding that we're living in a world where you now are valuable. You're not blue collar. You're not going to just pay for me to travel. You know, you're not going to look at the icons and go, well, we support them, or we vicariously work through them, or all of those things. It doesn't happen. It's not happening anymore. You now are the one. And by 2020, 95% of the world will access and be 100% interacting on the internet with video conferencing and live feeds. Google just came out with something called Google Wave. Has anyone heard of the Wave? Google Wave. Google said a year and a half ago, they said email is old. Texting is old. We must create something that is more relevant to where the media and the people are communicating. So they created a real-time communication system with memory bases called the Wave, where teams can gather in and out the wave. And it's like a wave. You can imagine, you create any wave. Everyone creates a wave. It's a wave of information that goes. You create it, and you drag people onto the wave. I want Vaughn in this conversation. I grab him because he's permanently on the internet. Like right now, my phone's on. My phone's connected. I'm permanent, 24/7 now. I'm connected to the internet. While I'm sitting in the meeting, someone texts me from India. That's coding our software programs. Not a believer. They're not Christians. Guy's name Sandeep. Sandeep, Yahoo messengers me. Bang, my phone goes, bang. Sandeep says, hey, Phil, are you there? Sandeep, why are you awake? It's a 12-hour difference. You should be sleeping. Oh, I'm working on your program. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, I'm permanently connected. It's just the way it's going to be. So the wave consistently there. So I drag Vaughn into the wave. He's in the wave. But Vaughn speaks Chinese. Doesn't speak English. But he's in my wave, okay? He's important because he's important to my wave for some reason in my network. But he doesn't speak my language. The wave translates. The wave knows that I'm English by my profile, right? Knows that he's Chinese. When he communicates with this person, it translates sentence, not word for word, sentence by sentence. It perfectly translates his language. He writes in Chinese. It comes across in English to me. I write in English. It comes across in Chinese to him. And I've got people in the wave all around the world now in my wave. And I pulled them in. I think my director in Venezuela needs to be in the wave. He doesn't speak English. What do I care? How are you doing? What's going on there? How was the meeting last night? Into the wave. Well, it's not just wave. It incorporates every form of media in a real time and memory basis. So it captures that in a memory. That wave is captured. So if ever you have to go back to like an email, you can go back to it. Or now you got video capturing and all things. It's just amazing. Empowering you. It's exactly the Bible says you are the answer. See, the living epistle has to remain as part of our form of expansion. You can't just send emails. You just write a book and publish it to the masses. It's got to be you personally looking someone else in the eye, yes, and doing it. It's like the living epistle. So it's all going this way. And I wanted to just spend some time this morning, and Vaughn, you're just batting whenever you want, talking about some of the infrastructures we put together to mobilize you, to make you valuable to the kingdom, to make you. See, because I see it. promise you, I see, I can see you. And I'm just like, man, it just excites me because I know your value. And I'll tell you one story. And if you got anything to say, I'm just adding, because the melting pot of cultures is happening. If you still think there's a discrimination between languages, now, you're living 10 years back. Languages are not our discrimination. Geographies, in cyberspace, there are no borders. There is no visas. The only visa that there was in cyberspace was China and Google's big battle. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Okay. China tried a visa, tried to create a border in cyberspace. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Google had a problem with it because cyberspace is a melting pot of cultures. Everyone's in. Doesn't discriminate. It just says you're in. You have full access to everything. It's interesting. It's still going on. China, Google bailed on China, okay, and said you're not gonna be able to access or trade in cyberspace through any of our platforms. And you know China's all about trade. And then created and are creating Google in Hong Kong. You can't stop cyberspace. It's not right. You can't do it. So they created, put their servers in Hong Kong, and they ran it for Southeast and East Asia out of Hong Kong. But still going on. I mean, it's going to be a battle with China because China wants to control its culture. Again, China's not about it. It protects its culture. It believes, and it rightly believes, that its personal culture is important to maintain. And it feels like outside influence, like pornography. How about that? I mean, that thing's just invading the world. It's culture. We didn't. Those images, those things that our youth are going to see growing up were and are, they don't compute with our brains. They don't start, our parents beat that out of us. It's not to be seen. And it's a distortion of your life. It shouldn't be there. Well, now it's like, I mean, have you heard of, what do they call it? Ron Luce told me about it recently. It's called Friends with Benefits. It's a movement in America called Friends with Benefits. Basically, it's people between the age of 11 and 13, 11 and 14 years old, that have friendships that are sexual. They're friendships, sexual friendships. It's called Friends with Benefits. There are no connections. There's no relation. There's no, supposedly no personal thing. It's just about an event that takes place. It's called Friends with Benefits. And they use their cell phones to communicate photos, videos, and the whole media world. There's 11 to 14 Friends with Benefits. It's in this country. Massive movements. Massive, massive. Running through all the schools. It's like a cultural thing. It's crazy stuff going on. But China protects it. So I'm going to tell you one story, maybe you can tell one, about something that happened with someone like Valuable when they mobilized into another cultural environment and how important it is that you go there and do something. We went to a tribe called the Lozi in western Zambia on the Angolan borders about 2002, first time in on dugout canoes to the Barotse floodplains, Upper Zambezi, to go find the Lozi, who is a fishing tribe. They just fish. So Zodiac goes in, and I'm on the mission. Sharon's on the mission, and we have a team of about 20. We have two Zodiac inflatable rafts to the villages. Drop off our teams at a village, fishing village, and then we drop off another team at a fishing village, another team at a fishing village, and we pick them up at the end of the day. The Zodiac will come back. Lots of crocodiles, hippos. It's wild. I mean, it's wild. And so this one girl, Sarah Bassler, from South Bend, Indiana, where Ifeel, I think, spends a lot of his time. He's based there. Sarah Bassler, and from Stephen's Church in South Bend, comes along, and she speaks to one tribal fisherman guy. And they talk, and we told our teams, you want to preach and do everything, but come away with a relationship with two people, just two. Just come away from it deciding to communicate with two people over the next 2 years. Send something back to them. Send a note to them. Just tell them you believe in them somehow. So that's what we said. So Sarah didn't know when she arrived. She had nothing to give. So she took her dad's business card, her father's business card, and gave it to this fisherman. He said, I'm from America. And she built a relationship, and the guy got led to the Lord. She gave him a card and said, this is my where I live. This is my card. Disappeared. The thing ended. Great mission trip. Everyone's gone. But 3.5 years later, I'm back in the Western Province. And I'm in this town of Sananga, and we send boats upriver again, evangelizing and discipling the villages. Very hard to disciple those villages, actually, because the distances are really hard, and they migrate because of the rains. So it's just tough. It's like you're just plowing, basically, trusting God for miracles, signs, and wonders, and an influence of Christian culture. It's hard to disciple. And we took 2 students out of there, put them in Bible school in Lusaka, paid for that. They came back, and they live in the tribe now. We're planting churches. It was a great testimony. So anyway, this guy, 3.5 years later, we have our teams there, and this guy hears that Overland Missions is back in the area, and he gets on his dugout and tries to go find where the teams were. It takes him days, because, I mean, it takes like 4 or 5 hours to get to a village downstream. Gets there, have they come yet? No, they were just here, or they've just gone. And he goes, 2 or 3 days, this guy's digging in his canoe trying to find us throughout those floodplains. And he comes up and he finds one of our boats and he goes down and he walks up just like a tribesman, barely dressed, clothes, very, very poor. And then out of his pocket, he goes up to one of our team members and he unrolls a paper bag that he got from some store or somewhere. And out of the paper bag, the card of Sarah Bassler's dad comes out. Perfect. Not dog-eared. Perfect. Comes out. Does anybody know this person? So now the team doesn't know Sarah. So they go, John Bassler? Yeah. This guy valued this relationship. Wow. Because it was just one address, one person. One relationship, one person who just said, I believe in you. I promise you. God put his hand upon you. And he's raising you up to be a voice, a mouthpiece for him in this area. You know, that belief system. Gets the card for 3.5 years. Hang on to the card, wraps it in plastic, puts it in his pocket. I mean, these guys don't have... I don't even know how that happens, because that's really... The elements are really tough. A little piece of paper is going to get destroyed in 3.5 years. Perfect, they said. Perfect card. Wrapped in plastic. Does anyone know this person? They didn't know him, so they came back. A guy comes up. They tell me. I'm Sananga. I wasn't on the boats. Comes up. They unroll the card. Were you on that expedition, Joe? No Zambies. And there was a name on the card. I said, what was the name? I said, John Bassler. Sarah Bassler's dad, who's never been to Zambia, never been on our operations, runs a feeding program in South Bend, Indiana. I've never even met him. I just heard about him. And the value, can you see this? I mean, Sarah, not a great preacher, just on a short-term missions trip, but with a vision to maintain a relationship, influenced this guy in such a powerful way. You know, just the value of your life is at the highest degree of greatness in the kingdom of God. It's not like you have small degrees of it. It's because it's all about, you know, numbers. And I guess tonight, today, this morning, I want to chat to you about some of our plans to make you valuable. Stories that make you see yourself in the picture, not just praising us, because we want to involve you. That's what our job is.
Can I just say something before? That's a tough story to follow, so I won't follow it. Folks who are nearer my age, this is one of the challenges of our life. One of the challenges is, are we going to co-labor with this generation that is so tech-savvy? You know, and if I can't get it on my computer by 3 clicks, then I called for help, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to make a decision. Now, there's one thing, if you like, that is relevant. Obviously, the mature word of God in our hearts and in our mouths is relevant, like Reinhard said. But also, once young people think you're disconnected, you are. You are. They are not listening to you. And this is a very important thing. It's very challenging. And no matter how much rich word you may have in you, because they think you're a fuddy-duddy or whatever the heck we are these days, they shut down on you in their soul. And there's you can have a great revelation, they can't hear it. And so I'm listening to all this about all this cyberspace and all these setting up visas in space and all that. And I'm going, oh, that sounds interesting. I ain't got a stinking clue really what you're talking about. So now I'm thinking, okay, what's all that? So now I've got this in my memory bank. You know, when I begin to hear more about this and I'm going to try and find out a little bit, it's very challenging. And all I'm saying, pick up the challenge. Don't say, I don't need this. Don't say, well, that's for you guys. You know, what's wrong with writing letters and putting a stamp on it? You know, when I used to go on trips without Wendy, which was more common because we didn't always take all the family wherever we went, we wouldn't hear from each other for weeks. We wouldn't phone. We wouldn't write letters. You know, no news was good news in those days when we, but what I'm saying is no more. You were the one to, last time Phil was here, December, he said, Vaughn, you got to get a new phone. And you got to get a phone so you can email anywhere in the world. All right, Phil, next week I went out and got a new phone because he said so. You understand what I'm saying? And because he you remember that conversation, man? And we looked at it quickly. I don't like the button, so I got a touchscreen. I don't need an iPod, so I got an iPhone, so I got a, you know, what the heck is this? Storm 2. It was the best one that they offered because I was already hooked in Verizon, so I couldn't switch to AT&T without a big. So, okay, this is the best I could do, but I did it because he told me. And that's what I'm interested in. And, of course, it works both ways. So that's why don't be threatened by these things because they're the answer to the gospel in our lives. Carry on.
Let me ask you, was that a good idea?
Tremendous, yes.
Amazing.
It's revolutionized my thinking because when I'm in India, I emailed every day.
Yeah, I mean, so you jump over that fence. It's like, and I tell you, it's in different matrix. I'm dealing with coders in India, companies with 400 coders that work in one office. And these guys are engineers. They have degrees, like the clever people. So, and I'm trying to code software platforms for our mission operations, Timbuktu, which I'll explain some other time. But these guys are super clever. And I hit that same wall you're hitting, just at a different level. I go, yeah, okay, whatever, jeez. Don't explain why you have to do that. All these different abbreviations. When they throw abbreviations at you, that's when it really goes out. PHP, CPX, you know, JRP and JJP. And you code all that languages, those code languages. That's nice. Yeah, jeez. Just tell me you can do it, you know. But, I mean, I have to also enlarge my spirit. And I'm pretty savvy, but I have to. I don't want to. I want to sail. I want hard. I love sailing. You know, sailing is like you use the wind. It's like elements, you know, simple elements, wind. Nowadays, this is like servers in cyberspace. Everyone's information, iPad. An iPad doesn't even need a memory because all your information is in cyberspace. Well, she's actually in a hard drive somewhere that you're paying $10 a month for. I mean, so it links somewhere to the earth. But, I mean, you've got to stay savvy with it. But let me race ahead now and describe to you, interpret our functionality so far to the earth as an organization, Overland Missions. Overland Missions was founded by me, kind of. I think I had actually incorporated U.S. identity, corporate identity. But Overland Mission is really a team of people it's just a team of people. And so I'm really excited about that because it's not all on my shoulders. And we run it as an organization, not as a old school ministry. It's not a one-man show. It's not ruled and run by my executive decisions. I empower departments with very, very equipped people that make their own decisions and report on their departments. I make sure that all departments work in synergy for the greater kingdom of God. And it's growing really well. So we put together our sector management strategy. And this is what I'm going to talk to you about today, because I want to recruit you. And I want to ask you to ask me questions as I am telling you the story. And if you, majority of you won't do this, but you will find someone who will do this. There are people you'll rub shoulders with the call of God, and you'll say, you need to do that with your life. That's why I'm going to explain it to you, okay? Sector management is a chiefdom. In India, would be called a mandal. In Zambia, we call it a sector. We've called it globally as a sector, but in Zambia, it's known as a chiefdom. It's about manageable, about 250,000 people on a max, 60 miles by 60 miles in size, 60 miles from here to Albany, square. It's quite big. It's demographic. It's in a rural area where the local church has not had powerful influence. Defines a sector for us. We're not going to go to sector where the local church is functioning and blossoming, because that's our ultimate goal. Why would we do that? We just endorse the local church if they're there. So we have a defined sector. Our vision is to say, in our generation, all the promises that were made to you as a sector in the previous generations of people coming to you and with the information, the teaching of the gospel of Christ to empower you and release you and free you, all those promises that have not been fulfilled, we want to fulfill in our generation. All of them. So 150,000 people stuck out in the bush waiting for something to happen, someone to come, some elevation, some graduation, something forward. And never it happened. And I mean, we're in Zambia, where Dr. Livingstone stood on the land we own and said, we're going to touch Africa, all these tribes, and mentioned them all. Well, they never really, a lot of them, the isolated ones, never really got the influence of the gospel like it was promised by the kingdom. So we want to change that. I mean, in our way, as much as we can. I mean, it's not going to be a bulletproof system. But we want to reach every single person within the sector, okay? Because I believe you can do it. I put you in a sector, I know you can reach every person in that sector. I know you can do it. So I put in a person within the sector, and I say, these are your people now. We're going to put different systems available to you, departments available to you to reach the sector. First department, Rural Pastors Network. We have a division called the Rural Pastors Network in Africa. There's thousands of pastors in the network and growing. You must find all existing pastors that are amazing people, that serve God. They are totally ignorant. Half of them can't even read. I mean, you don't expect when you say rural pastor, it's not like you're going to have a doctorate in theology to start here. Guys are really novices, but more important than their understanding, they have spirits. They have some point in their life said, Lord, I will serve you. So that's great. Pull them into the network, to the Rural Pastors Network. Then we have our evangelism wing, which is called Operations, where we take operations and we reach and expand to every single village within the chiefdom or the kingdom, whatever you're working in. And you have to get on your motorbike, bicycle, car. You have to raise disciples around you, indigenous, to get into to do this job in a 5-year period. Then we pull out in 5 years, because as Ephiel knows, the power of reaching an indigenous area is in the indigenous church. You don't want to camp there more than 5 years, because now you become the answer all of a sudden, and it's going to create a bad synergy like the Baptists did in their mission strategy, where they just put people in lifelong in an area. It's not good. It just undermines the existing church. So you go in, you start your Rural Pastors Network gatherings, you reach the new villages, which is very tricky, but we're doing, last year, he's got 450 villages in his sector. It's a huge village, sector, huge. Most have about 180 to 200. He got 400 over. Well, last year he did about 98 villages, 90, just under 100 villages, where he intentionally reached, started a discipleship program, and personally made an invitation for the people to in a good understanding of the gospel. Not just coming through one day, okay, sing a song, repent, and then split. You know, that happens, but looking someone in the eye, developing a relationship, I'm here for 5 years, and I'm going to give you a challenge. Come to the kingdom of God. And then this is how I'm going to feed information to you from now on. That person over there is under that person who gets the information at this level, and it comes down to you. You know, like Leon says, it's not about making converts. It's about making disciples. But that's your sector. You become a pastor of about 150,000 people. How about that? I told my staff in Zambia last night, I said, Joel Osteen flies private jets, writes books that sells millions, and has notoriety because he has a church of 50,000 people. You're sector managers. Your church is over 100,000 people. You're more valuable to me, to the kingdom, than these other icons that are running these massive, massive gatherings. Very important. So in the sector, so you begin in this area, and we provide you also with the LIFE project, which is your humanitarian strategy, and the SAM project, Sustainable Agriculture and Micro Enterprises, which deals with sustainability. Because our vision is, if you know too, you can't sustain everybody. Neither can you deal with every crisis, family crisis, which deals with widows, orphans, elderly, and unemployed, basically categorized as vulnerable people. Can't deal with everything. It's just too much work. But you have to. It's like you can't preach to a village, and then they tell you they've got 13 orphans in the village. And you go, oh, yeah, that's nice. Next village. You've got to do something. And so we have programs called the LIFE Project, which deals with that issue. How do you answer that? What do we do? What is our defined method of dealing with that issue? And we have them. We give them to the sector manager and say, this is what we have. Do that. And then we expect the sector manager within a five-year period to preach to every single person and build a network of pastors and leaders and emerging leaders. And then at 5 years, you pull out, and all we do, you hand that to our rural pastors director, which is Jeff Martin. And Jeff, for the rest of our lives upon the earth, will mentor that infrastructure in leaders. That's what a sector is. And how do we monitor a sector? How do we know that you're going to do your job? Because the previous generation, I mean, everyone's making promises, right? You're not going to be another one making promises to me, and then the village on the outskirts never actually got anybody. It's just unacceptable to me. How do I monitor that? We created and creating Timbuktu, the software monitoring system, which is just revolutionary. I'm so excited about it. I had someone from Amway come visit me last week. One of the main people that designed and created Amway. In one of his legs, I don't know how multi-level marketing works totally, but I don't really want to know. I want to know how multi-level kingdom works. I mean, I'm not against it. I just can't leverage relationships for monetize them, because I'm a steward of the gospel, personally, not in business. But he has 150,000. He wants to import all of those people in one import in Timbuktu to monitor them. It's just such a powerful system, and we can without crashing the system. And what it does is it monitors you geographically. It uploads everything, your story, by geography. So if I'm at your wedding this afternoon, which I will be, and I will take a photo and a video, and I may write a journal about it, okay? And I will post it to Timbuktu. It will be forever memorized on the world map, shared by Google with us, on the exact location that photo was taken, on that hill, John's farm next to the lake. 20 years from now, I will go to that lake and I'll go, what happened here? And I will come there, and everyone that was involved in Timbuktu and that uploaded data will come on that location. Photos, videos, by location, not only in albums, It's important to us because if you get to a village, Mariana, and you want to know what happened in that village, 10 years from now, our disciples want to know, I'm going to go to Zambia to a village. Well, has anything happened? Well, there's no information to tell them. Well, there will be because there'll be a video photo exact. And that sounds like a lot of data, right? Say you've got 100 million people uploading information. How do you filter that information? Well, you filter it by zooming in on the map. As you zoom down on the Great Wall of China that you're standing on to find out, well, has anyone done anything in this area? It filters out Beijing. It filters out Hong Kong. Filters out because that's not the focused point of the map. It's where you are. It's brilliant. And it assists the church. And it has a tracking division, tracking part, which means this. Listen to this. So here we go. Here's my phone, right? It's in over here. The iPhone application, a text from Sharon. The iPhone application wants to turn on, are we doing one for Android? Are we doing for iPad also? Once turned on, your phone now becomes a GPS tracking device. The old school, I mean, we used to use, I did all of the first technology with Magellan. Magellan GPS is where it records a waypoint every couple of seconds. You can set it, or minutes or hours. Just record a waypoint. It means a waypoint is a position. So say it's every second. Position me, 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 position me. And it'll draw a line on that position. So I would have a road map of where exactly I went. We used to use it for expeditions on waterways at night because you've got trees. And you put the GPS and you say, track back, and you just go like this, and you can be blind as a bat, and it'll track you back. So now cell phones are the best GPS tracking devices in the world. Can you believe it? Better than GPSs. It's amazing because it uses cell tower triangulation. So, and you know the world is going cell, so everyone's going to have cell phones if they don't already in the world. But turn on the application, and now your profile, your story, your map. Now it's not just photos and videos, it's actually pathways of where you went in your life. You could say to your grandchildren, that's my story. And I could follow your path. I want to go where my grandfather went when he explored the Amazon River. Well, you can go on a 3-foot accuracy of exactly where he stood. And when you get there, there will be an upload of media to say, when he arrived, he met a man. And he led him to Christ, and there he is. Dang, bang, there's a video of him. There's a photo of him. It's 20 years ago. You must be his grandchild. You can follow the kingdom. It's all going that way. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's amazing. The software platform Timbuktu is amazing. And we are synergizing it, and we're bringing in the AOG, the Southern Baptists, and all the guys all clubbing in so that they can track themselves so we can collaborate data. For example, overland missions, say we grow to international, we will grow, but say we grow to the largest missions organization in the world, people going everywhere. And then our guys, we don't want to be, we understand teamwork. We understand that the Baptists, even though they're not filled with the Spirit, they do valuable work. They do preach the gospel. You don't want to undermine that or go in there like, just now step aside, you Baptist, and preach. You want to honor their existing work and build on it. But you're not going to phone the Baptists, right? We're not going to phone. Oh, you're going to phone the Baptist Convention in where's that, Virginia or somewhere? Or their main Southern Baptist Convention in, I think it's Virginia Beach. And go, can I speak to someone about this village called Nyamapanda? Isn't that the border control, Nyamapanda border control at Zimbabwe, Mozambique? Is there anyone in your organization, they're going to go, worldwide, it's never going to happen. The Baptists are never phoning the AOG. AOG never phoning the Baptists. We are not phoning the Baptists, asking permission to go to Nyamapanda. It's not going to ever happen. But I don't need to do that because I got one click. Bang. Zoom down on Nyamapanda. The Baptists are there. Let's go to the village that not the Baptists, the AOG, or anybody's at. That's brilliant. So we got this monitoring system so that we can monitor your movements so you cannot sleep 5 days a week and work one and then go raise money in some first world country claiming you got massive stories. I don't care about it. I want work. I want to say our generation worked and we did our task. We did it. So Timbuktu monitors you. Isn't that amazing? Are there any questions on that? on Timbuktu and the monitoring system. And maybe a little deep right now until you see it. You can go onto the beta version right now. If you just, after the meeting, give me your email address, I'll send you a sign up where you get your own profile in the beta version. And you can track yourself from now on. It's pretty good.
Let's change that idea. Let's give that email address to Sarah.
Okay.
Or Joe. Don't get caught up with that today. That's
okay. I'll just put a piece of paper on the table.
Yeah.
So would you be like uploading like photos and videos like from your phone?
Mm.
Or like
from
like a camera?
Yeah. No, cameras, you can do any media from anywhere. Like right now, the iPhone application is in process, so you can't do it from your phone right now. Or you can. You've got to upload it to the website now by location. So when you get to the website, it says, where was this photo taken? It gives you an opportunity to go down to the exact house, hut, village, and go click right there, and it locates the photo to that position. Forever, your profile's in there. You'll see, because when you sign up on the entire worldwide Timbuktu site, everyone, without choice, becomes my friend. I'm in their world. You'll see. You'll become Philip Smith, but you cannot unlock me. I am everyone's friend. I'm in. And my story will be on everyone's map. It's just, I just weaved it into the program. That's what happens when you're the designer. You know, make me like in everyone's world. And you'll see my story, and you'll see how we uploaded, and I've uploaded stuff from Brazil. I just came out of Brazil. I uploaded this monkey came down to a house. I filmed it, uploaded, bang, to location. There's a place, 3-foot accuracy, where I saw a monkey that everyone in the world can see where it happened. Now, you got botanists in Cambridge University, right? Is a botanist in Cambridge University, one of the world's leading botanists. He's on our beta version. Okay. He studies research flowers, conifers, ferns. Well, he's got friends around the world that are finding ferns in Borneo, in the Amazon, and all these like flowers. Now they're collaborating data at a click of the fingers and say, let's have a look at all the people that are finding these ferns on this particular activity in this group. The group being botany, Cambridge Botany. And there, so this one uploads a photo, and they can go there exactly is where that fern is. Can you see there's a massive data of collaboration of data, and instantly by location. It's powerful for the world, but powerful for the kingdom. So, yeah. Yes.
So you have exclusive rights on this whole content?
I own it, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I own the trademark. And we're in the process right now of patenting the business idea. And the only reason for that is not that we would stop other people from doing it, because I mean, cyber world, China will produce one, India. I mean, how are you going to stop it? You can't stop it, really. But it just stops people from suing me and stopping me from doing it. So, yeah. But if they did, I would go to Brazil and I would launch it from Brazil. And the power is our relationship with Google. All the data, I don't know if this is for another day, but when you tap on the internet, that information that you see is actually spinning someone's computer, a hard drive somewhere in the world. It's not just floating. It goes to a computer and a hard drive spins to access that information. It's Facebook. Your pictures are in Atlanta. When you look on, you click on someone's photo, it spins that hard drive. So Google has servers all around the world now, because you want the Indonesians are looking at Google in Indonesia. They can't spin the hard drives in America. Our system is mainly Google Maps. So all of the big information that's coming out of our website is actually Google servers. I don't even buy in a server. My servers just carry the information, the code, the location data. It's quite amazing. And then Facebook, Twitter have got applications, so you don't have to change your Facebook now. All your friends from Facebook incorporate to Timbuktu. We're coding a Facebook application that goes straight on your Facebook so all your friends can see and track you on Timbuktu. Yeah, very powerful. So, yeah, my head spins. But next question, I'll ask one for you. How do I get involved? How do I become a sector manager? Right? How do I become a sector manager? Number one, we say go on a short-term trip, see if you like us. Okay? Number two, you do AMT. advanced missions training course in Zambia. It's a 3-month course based in Livingston, Zambia, outside of America. And we put it together, and we pour, in 3 months, we pour a year, actually maybe even more, of training into you intensively, but imparting also not only the culture of our faith and our teamwork, because all of our guys, a lot of our people will fly in for it. Mike Petzer leaves in 3 weeks to spend, I think, 12 days with the new AMT class. 12 days. Every day, Mike Petzer. And the AMT class has got like 14 students. We only allow 20 max. Because we want to intentionally pour the word in. We believe in you. And you're going to need that word for the next 5 years. You need to duplicate that message. And so we pour that in. We have Dr. Van Rooyen's courses, and he spends time with our AMT. Vaughn comes out just about every year to one of our classes to pour into them. And then we have a Solo. Solo is the largest paramedic and wilderness EMT training program in America out of New Hampshire. The best. Dr. Frank Hubble, who founded Solo, flies personally to every one of our AMT classes and for 9 days trains our people and qualifies them in wilderness EMT. I mean, the course is brilliant. We qualify you through AMT. After that, you have a 3-month optional volunteer under a sector manager. Otherwise, you come back to America. We developed a program called Ministry of Partnership Development. Because this is the next question. How do I become a career missionary? How do I give my life a five? Who's going to pay the bills? How do I buy a vehicle? Who pays for the fuel? How is it going to work? Well, Ministry of Partnership Development answers all of those questions for you. Where it says, number one, do the course. We give it to you. It's a book you read and a course you do and you write a lot of stuff. Joe, how long did that take you? Maybe a week of hard work at night. Yeah, maybe more. A little bit longer. Yeah, it's a book you read and a course you do. It's great. It teaches you about fundraising. And it's a lot of behavior of people and how to raise your money. Then we send you to a course called Boot Camp, which is done by an outside organization we subcontract to that does Campus Crusade and a bunch of others, but we've a relationship with them, and they understand our science as a fundraising organization, and they teach you to fundraise until you are fully funded career missionary, okay? And then you do that, because this position is not an itinerant, you're not itinerating in this environment. It's not like Vaughn was saying, you're going to pioneer out into the hinterlands of the world. No, we're sending you on a mission. It's an area. Finish our job. You've got to have sustainability in that. Otherwise, you'll leave in 2 years and be heartbroken. You left your job halfway through. We don't want that. And you can't raise money while you're there because no one's giving. They're going to give you chickens and eggs, okay? So you raise your money as a career missionary. In that is savings, air tickets, medical insurance, fuel for your car, maintenance for your vehicles. A portion of it gets raised for the actual operation itself, the actual getting the job done in the mission. And we send you, and that can take 6 to 8 months. So you're not back in the mission field for 6 to 8 months, basically a year. You will spend on MPD, getting yourself funded. In this time, you're preparing yourself and your wife and your husband and your family and your kids for the deployment a year later. In that next year, or if you're single, you just prepare yourself, your backpack. get yourself ready. We deploy you into your sector unless the previous sector manager hasn't signed you off yet. You have to be signed off by an existing sector manager, someone who functions as a sector manager who looks at you and says, they will make it. Or they won't make it. Let them serve under me until they get rough around the edges, until they can handle it. Because we don't want to throw you out prematurely. We're going to be around for 40 years. You know what I mean? We've got one generation that we're going to live for, that we're going to run this organization for. So we're not going to try and get you out there tomorrow. You know, we're all going to be 80 years old, gray, and laughing and together still. So I'm not in any hurry to get you out. I want you to do it right. So MPD, after a year, you fund it, you've got $5,000 a month. You have people that love you and believe in you in this country, and you head out. We plan in MPD, most people will come back once a year or once every 2 years back to their partners and family and friends and churches, share the vision, and get back out to the field. So you will see your families. Today, I mean, air tickets, not like you're sailing a ship like the old days where you go for 10 years and come back. No, we can fly back every year. And then it's the dream job, to tell you the truth. It's the dream job. I'm giving you the dream job, the job I want. This is the job I want. Okay? So it is amazing. Any questions? We have... we started sector management about 3 years ago, where we started intentionally. We were doing it for years, but intentionally planning to strategically move 3 years ago. So right now we have a sector in Musukatwani, Rodney and Christine Westbrook. We have a sector in Nyawa, Jake and Jesse Schwarzenegger. We have a sector in Makuni, Arthur and Liesl Pinar. We have a sector in Burundi, Dave Hoimi. And then we have about 8 sector managers in the wings, fundraising, getting a life. So in 3 years, it's huge amounts of gravity of areas. It's huge. We expect by 2020, we would like to set a goal as an organization to have 200 sectors on the ground by 2020, 200 sectors. And a sector... that means our advanced mission training has to double. So we are believing God for a critical mass. About 3 or 4 years from now, we should be doubling our AMT and getting... that's if we get 50% of all AMT students into sectors. So we have a lot of work to do to get there. But again, our critical mass works. It does this. And once you hit it, this now we'll have 1,000 applicants all at once. You know, it's like we've got to prepare for that.
It's not just Africa. If anybody else, just understand this is Overland Missions is going to spread to the whole world. So some of you don't have a vision or a desire for Africa. So, you know, our next major project, of course, is India, where we're going to be going in October. Dr. Lean and I, we've now got the date set. We have been invited by a very purpose-filled Indian pastor who's got 2,200 churches and 1,500 pastors. So these things are beginning to spread. And one thing I want to interject here, Phil, is what you saw, or I hope you saw and witnessed this week, is so much of what we're talking about. This, how does it work? It's well-structured, it's well-organized, and by the same token, you know, if you just for fun's sake, go on Phil's Facebook, and I commented on his photographs, you know. I said, what are you, name dropping or something? There's Phil standing next to Colin Powell and Oral Roberts and the president of Burundi, and, you know, what are you trying to impress me? No, he ain't trying to impress anybody. I just want to tell you this. This story just interested me. I got to share. It's this. The president of Burundi called him up. Some of you may not know Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke is possibly one of the most successful evangelists in our lifetime. And he has reached millions of souls in Africa. You know, had the biggest tent in the world. He's just amazing. So the president of Burundi calls him up and says, please do me a favor. Go and ask Reinhardt, who he knows personally, personal friend, will you ask him to come and hold a crusade in Burundi? And Phil didn't have time to do it. And that just cracked me up, you know. When he told me, I just laughed, man. It was just like typical. You know, he doesn't have time to go and see the most famous evangelist in the world. So, but he has time to come and sit with us, you know. So you understand what I'm saying? So this is important. This is important that, you know, me, I want you to see this side of it. Last night, you know, of course, was it Thursday afternoon, we're changing the world in India. We're sitting around the table, you know. And then last night, is Phil, myself, Steve, and Dr. Leon watching rugby on the computer, you know. We're just all just sort of huddled around the computer. And like, oh, man, that was a good hit. And I'm going, oh, they lost me. And so he said, you see what I'm saying? Now, that relate that. Now, I want to say this. You haven't known us for 20 years, but we have that. And this is something we need to get across. No, it doesn't mean to say you're going to have what we have 20 years from now. We have got this in the spirit, this spirit of unity, this spirit of not, you know, like when we went to Montana, you know, he whistles me over to Montana and, you know, Wendy came with me, we paid the airfare and the hotels and all the stuff. And what did we get? I'll tell you what happened. Well, obviously we got Tim, praise God, and Gentry got Tim because of me, don't forget that. So
because of me. I want shares in it.
He's got shares. So, you know, I claim majority. So, but not only that, there was a woman in the tent next door who'd come with another ministry who heard me preach, wasn't part of our meeting. She was resting in the tent and heard me preach. And now she's, what's she doing?
Yeah, she's totally engaged. But her and her husband are on this Mozambican expedition up to the mouth of Zambezi, and they're engaged in all kinds of things.
Yeah, that one encounter, that one thing I was sharing, gripped her so much. She went to the Overland Missions Conference, and now she's working, you know, going on an expedition with Overland Missions in Mozambique. Now, the reason
she's
I'm saying...
65 years old.
Oh, yeah, forgot that part. Yeah, she's 65. Wow. And the reason I'm saying that is we have this. We have this. And it can be... You can come into that. Do you know? Do you know any few places in the kingdom of God have what we've got? In the kingdom, I've got that unfailing, refusing to give up on each other relationship that we've had over the years. And that, to me, I'm telling you, there's something in what God's doing in our midst. And what's it called? Yeah, it's called Overland Missions. It's called Global Relief. It's called Living Hope Family Church. It's called King's Fire International. Is it? I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, it's called Phil, Leon, Mike, Steve. That's, you know, and then you see how anyone can come into that once they understand that gospel we preach and understand, like Dr. Leon said last night, we all know John 3:16, but do we know 1 John 3:16? And that's the difference, man.
Yes, for sure.
I might not want to go to Africa.
Exactly.
I'm homeschooled 3 children, 1 I'm supposed to get the food. But I might go to Europe and put them in school and do the Lord's work. Not picking and choosing, but everybody's different.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the process right now of planning our Central American base, which is actually in Costa Rica. And we're in the heat of discussion concerning East Asia, India, the big animal in Asia. And we're fully expectant to expand those. Beyond that, we're going to wait until we get these ones right. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it has to go that road. It has to. You know, my philosophy of building anything, even the Timbuktu is a global concept. It will be used all around the world. It will be used in Malaysia, Indonesia. People will never know and never be able to. It will be used all around the world. But my building of Timbuktu, okay, my philosophy of building it was this: if I can make it work for me, it'll work for everybody. So I didn't think of everybody in creating it. I think only of me. and my needs and my organization's needs, if Overland, if this can help Overland, it will help everybody. So the thing is this. So what I'm saying is, I always focus intentionally on the few around me, knowing that it's in that it touches the earth. If Timbuktu did not work for my organization, it will not work for the world. It will not go to Malaysia. It will not work in India. It will not if it doesn't work for me. It's the same in our sharing with one another. We have to have unity in the small. We must have a conference here where the rain comes in and the glory of God is manifested and a free rain. If it's not in that, it won't be in our global work. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how big this meeting is. As long as we're intentionally focusing on equality, it will magnify globally. You know, it's my business philosophy, at least. So it's the same way in our Christian philosophy. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm here all day, and tonight, if you have any questions further, make sure you ask me. I may be very short with you, so don't spend I can't describe everything in like too many people, but if I'm really
not short like I'm short with you. You mean short in time?
Yeah, just short in time. Like, here's my email address. Look at this, this, and this. But it's not because I don't want to. It's just conferencing is very difficult to explain to everybody what's going on, you know. But if this has resonated in your spirit or resonated that it's for somebody else that you know, get them to AMT. Get them.
You know, I want to nail this, if I may. Brother Ephiel, you got a word in your heart? Yeah. If we can get Brother Ephiel, I'm going to take 2 minutes. If we can get Brother Ephiel, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes to share a word. He's got a word in his heart. He gave over his session this week to minister to Wendy and I, and I really felt very honored by that. But so what I want to quickly say is this. Is try and evaluate what you're doing in your life now. Try and evaluate it. Try and ask yourself the most vital question. Am I being fruitful? Am I being fruitful? Am I touching even my world, let alone the world? And I'll be honest with you, some of you, you know, there's some empty nesters, there's some young people who don't have a nest yet. Therefore, and in between, which is not quite as easy, you know, is God asking you to downsize your house and just make yourself available for this kind of thing? Is God asking you to you know, stop buying more toys and realize that there really is a treasure in heaven? And put a demand upon our testimonies that you know it worked. You know, when I sold everything and gave it away and hitchhiked to Jerusalem, I didn't even know God spoke to people. I'd never heard of speaking in tongues. I hadn't even heard John 3:16 yet. I didn't know I was a new creature in Jesus Christ. I didn't know I was the righteousness of God. I didn't know anything. But it still worked for me. And God provided for me on that trip, not because I was a preacher. He provided for me because he managed to get through to me. Vaughn. Of course, I didn't know he spoke, therefore I didn't answer. And he knew my name, but I didn't really know who he was, as per se. And when he spoke to me, this is why my testimony, I was reproved by one of our pastors this week. Stop apologizing for your testimony. Stop it. Sorry, okay, I'll stop it. Which is why I shared it a bit last night. And the reality is I was not in the ministry when I found those eggs under the chair. I was not in the ministry when God looked after Wendy and I in a foreign country where we don't know the language and we have not one connection. I was not a preacher. I was not a prophet. I was a wide-eyed 30-year-old baby that had just got saved out of sin, and God looked after me. And I am going to keep preaching that. And these things, this is what This is why I've just got to keep telling this to people, because I can't. To me, if you're saved, you don't have an excuse. Now, I understand, you know, you've probably got a brother over here. He's got five children. That's his oldest. So he's got five little children. No, he can't do it. Wendy and I went, we were childless at the time. But you all know how it developed. One baby here, keep moving. Two, keep going. So all I'm saying is Dr. Leon the same. He told us the story last night. Phil has done the same. All I'm saying is we want to encourage you. This is how we pull together. This is how Mike Petzer walked out of Teachers Training College, top of his class at 19 years old, because he knew there was a call in his life to preach the gospel. Those kind of things. We can't deny ourselves. And so this is why, you know, Phil gives the details, and then in 3 minutes, I'll kick you in the butt. Kind of, right, Phil? It kind of works that way, doesn't it?
You know something, I'll tell you now. No one's recruiting in the world. It's open season to us. The Bible schools are recruiting for you to join Bible school and pay the fees. Okay? But the vision beyond that, to deploy you, no one's standing at the door of the Bible school going, please, would you please consider me? They're not, because it's all got to do with how much they're going to pay you and how much the package is. It's just no one's recruiting. And did you hear Vaughn the other night? I don't know what night it was, Vaughn, but you got on. You stood up there. Well, you went. It wasn't for the preach. You just got up and you started preaching the message, the appeal of heaven. It was the appeal of heaven that was coming out. It's not happening. You can't hear that anywhere. You can't. You show me. You go to a conference. I go to conferences around this country with the biggest names. I'm telling you, it's dry. It's dry. It's like baby powder. It's just like, you can't, it doesn't, not palatable. They're not appealing. They've got great messages. They're amazing speakers. But where's the appeal? Where's the church? Someone saying to the church, sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Follow me, riches there. I promise you, I was young and I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. How about I promise you, you live your dream job. And I promise you, as a CEO of the organization, in your life, you will never, ever need bread for your table. And your children will be supplied for generations to come. If I promised you that, would you consider missions? You know?
Or and it's not missions. It's not missions. Yeah. Really, I know it's overland missions, but it ain't. It's a life of serving God. I mean, serving God? Wendy's got a great story about the time when she was waitressing and spilled gravy in Elton John's lap. And if you haven't heard that story, that's about it. But, you know, and that's like her 15 seconds of fame. You know, so she served Elton John. You didn't know that? But yeah, it was pretty good, eh? So that's, you know, she served Elton John, and now, you know, oh, if somebody said, who's the most famous person you ever met? And we serve God, man. And there's a lot more than gravy involved. There's a lot more than gravy involved. You know, and it's because the church wants gravy that they never get into the meat. Not just the meat of Jesus himself. He said, unless you eat of my body, unless you eat me, man, you've got no light, no part of me. And that's translated religiously any way they want to translate it. It's not translatable. That's what it's talking about. And you know, once you see that and you go, where else can I go? Are you going to leave me? You know, and everybody, this namby-pamby Jesus that people preach. So what do you think, guys? My Jesus says, are you going to leave me? And Peter, that big ugly fisherman, said, yeah, right. Where the heck are we going to go? You know I can't go anywhere. Why are you asking me that? I got no choice. What else? What more are you going to want of me? And that's what it's all about. I don't get everything else. This is why, you know, I've been so frustrated over the years. But I'm not anymore, because I know. I know what we're doing together. What got these final pieces that God's putting together, man. It's so dynamic. And it's awesome. And yet the thing that blesses me is we're not just making Model A Fords. We are constantly developing the design. Well, we are constantly developing, constantly keeping up. You know, Henry Ford was maybe the richest man in the world, because he came up with an idea and then he refused to change. On the 15 millionth Model T Ford, he nearly went broke, because GM called him up and they just started, because they were doing this. And I just want to encourage you to just, you know, think about it. And I'll be honest, I'm going to say another thing, mate. You show me somewhere else in the world who's got a vision like we've tapped into. I don't need the identity of King's Fire. I don't need the identity. We are going to India. We're using Leon's books, his brand. I'm the national director for India. I ain't even mentioned. Do you think that bothers me? Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. The best I'll ever probably be VaughanOverlandMissions.com, right? Insane.
But I tell you what, the spirit of a servant, of a missionary, of the steward, is actually not to be mentioned.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, thank you. They took my name out. Oh, they built something where my name doesn't have to be branded here, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I remember years ago the scripture that says, woe unto you who name your lands after your own name. And I remember saying, yeah, like Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, and a year later he was finished. I shouldn't have said it.
Praise the Lord.
I did.